Well, good evening, everybody. Good, January 29th? So, right in the middle of winter, but it doesn't feel like a normal Nebraska winter. So, pretty mild. And we're glad to have everybody here tonight. We're going to start through the book of Proverbs. And so, 10 weeks here, we're going to go through, basically topically, because there's really no way to get through 31 chapters verse by verse. I mean, and especially Proverbs, it kind of jumps around and hits a lot of the same thing over and over. So, we're going to look at 10 different topics on different nights. And I don't know exactly how I'm going to split it up. But tonight, we're going to talk about the strange woman, because the Proverbs talk a lot about this strange woman. And we're going to talk about what that is, what that means, and how we can avoid being trapped by the strange woman or being the strange woman ourselves. And so we're going to look at what Proverbs has to say about that. So let's bow our heads and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to meet together tonight, and thank you for the warmth that we have here in the sanctuary, and for brothers and sisters that can come and we can worship you and we can learn about you and for your word. Lord, help us to come at your word looking to be changed by it, looking to be have our sin exposed and our life exposed to where we're not measuring up to what you want us to do, and allow us to be hearers and doers of the word, Lord. And so we pray this, and I ask your blessing and your help as I preach this evening. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 1. If you would open your Bibles to Proverbs 1. And we're not going to do PowerPoint this time. So please bring your Bibles and we'll go through it that way. Proverbs chapter 1 is where we'll begin. And we know that the book of Proverbs was written by who? Solomon. Okay. Solomon, why should he write a book of wisdom to us, a book of Proverbs? Wisest man that ever lived. So if we want to have somebody write it, and really it doesn't matter that he's the wisest one that ever lives. It matters that God inspired it. And so, I mean, I could write it if God would inspire me, which he's not doing, but if he would, you know, it doesn't have to be my wisdom, it's God's wisdom. So we're looking at God's wisdom here. So let's read, starting in verse 1, chapter 1. The Bible says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. This is the purposes for writing the book. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So the Bible says that we, if we're a wise man, if we're a man of understanding or a woman of understanding, we're going to listen to not just think we know it all. We're going to try to learn from others, and especially from God's Word. And in the book of Proverbs, and we see we're going to receive instruction on wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. We're going to be given wisdom, not to be simple anymore. We're going to give knowledge and discretion if we look at the book of Proverbs. And so we know that Solomon, when God asked him, "I'll give you anything you want," Solomon asked for wisdom so he could judge the people rightly. And since he asked that, God gave him wisdom and plus gave him riches and gave him above and beyond what he asked for. But if we get wisdom, we'll be able to judge. We'll be able to have wisdom in relationships and what we should do here and there. We'll know these things. We will no longer be simple, and we'll have God's wisdom because we just learn it from his book. Look at verse 6. "To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So it all begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with acknowledging that He's God and we're not, and that He is wise. He's wise. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, the Bible says. And so we acknowledge that, and we fear the Lord. We know that we're here by God's grace. We're alive. We're held together by God's grace. It's only by God's grace that we're here. We fear Him because He's all-powerful, and we know that the wisdom comes from Him. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it all begins. We can come to the book of Proverbs and not fear the Lord, not think that, you know, and just look at this as a man-made book, and we can say, well, that's, you know, we never don't get knowledge and wisdom by it unless we start with the fear of the Lord. And we start with saying, this is God's word to us. What does it say to my life? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we see where the Proverbs are at. We need to fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wisdom and knowledge. Let's go to verse 20. Proverbs 1, verse 20. And this is wisdom. God is talking about wisdom like a woman crying out to us. And wisdom calling on you and me to listen to her, to listen to wisdom so that we can live according to the way God wants us to live. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. So it's like wisdom's outside calling to us. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So we must fear the Lord. And then when we hear the reproof of wisdom, we see what God's wisdom is. We don't just say, well, that's fine. We actually turn and we say, that's God's wisdom. You know, that's wiser than I am. And we turn at the reproof. When God says, I'm commanding this with authority, we turn from that. And then God will pour out his spirit unto us and make known these words unto us. But we have to be willing to turn at the reproof when we see what wisdom says, if it's contrary to what our life is. What happens if we don't? If we hear these words of wisdom, but we don't turn and we just keep on going, the Bible says in verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I mean, God is stretching out his wisdom to us. I mean, a lot of people, us included, we know God's wisdom when we do opposite. We don't regard. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. The wisdom is saying, I will mock at these things. I will laugh at these things when your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So when we're in distress and we've got ourselves into this problem because we didn't listen to God's wisdom, then all of a sudden we want God's wisdom. Wisdom is crying out and saying, you're not going to have wisdom in the middle of that. You had none of me before. And so we can get mired in this by hating knowledge. It says in verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproofs. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And so we want to listen to what wisdom has to say. I mean, we can't hold God liable when God gives us his wisdom and we say, well, we'll have none of that. And then we get in trouble. We're like, God, save us. You know, how do you let this happen to me? And we start shaking our hand at God when he's given us his wisdom. So, wisdom's crying to you, saying, turn. When you hear something, apply it to your life. Change your life in accordance to God's wisdom. Fear him. And what we're going to talk about tonight. So, every night I might start out just talking a little bit about wisdom, because the first, you know, about seven chapters talk a lot about wisdom and knowledge. And so, look at some of that. But tonight our focus is going to be on verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. Talking about wisdom, talking about this knowledge and this discretion, it says in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So tonight we're going to talk about the strange woman and study her. So, what is a strange woman? You just think, that's a weird person, you know? That's not what the Bible's taught. Let's go to Judges 11. We'll just find out from the Bible what a strange woman is. Judges chapter 11. So, what is it? The seventh book of the Bible. Back towards the front. Judges chapter 11. And there was a man named Jephthah. You ever heard anybody preach on Jephthah or read about Jephthah? Interesting guy. We're going to look about Jephthah's birth here real quick, just to tell us about what a strange woman is. All right, so Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Judges 11, verse 1 says, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. So Gilead was Jephthah's dad, but he had Jephthah through a harlot. And Gilead's wife then, this other lady, bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Right? And so there we get a definition of what a strange woman is. It's a harlot. It's somebody that was not Gilead's wife. And that's the definition we're going to use. We could go into a lot of where the Bible talks about strange women and strangeness, but it's somebody that God did not ordain for you, and for our purposes, anybody other than your wife is a strange woman to you. But if you're not married, if you're a young person, I mean, that woman is not your wife. She's a strange woman to you. If you're married and it's somebody other than your wife, that woman's a strange woman. Ladies, you could be that strange woman if you do the things that a strange woman does, making advances towards a man. So the strange woman could be anybody except for your wife. It could be. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about a strange woman. And if we have wisdom and instruction from the book of Proverbs, it says it will deliver us from the strange woman. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. So we're going to learn about this strange woman and get wisdom and instruction and discretion so that we don't fall into adultery. We don't fall into fornication. I mean, this was written 3,000 years ago. Do you think it's applicable today? Adultery? Of course it is. I mean, here in Henderson, Nebraska, I mean, there's stuff maybe in this sanctuary. I mean, we don't know what's going on. But there are things that are going on, and it could be one of us, and we can fall into this stuff. And we're going to look tonight at what God's wisdom says on how not to. Because we do not want to. God says that, you know, Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. There's a place that God has designed, and that's the marriage bed. Anything else, God will judge. He hasn't changed on that. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Go back to verse 10. This is kind of where this section of Proverbs starts. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. There's four things right there that can deliver us from the strange woman as men. It's first, having wisdom enter into thine heart. And you can sit here today and listen. We could study the Bible till we're blue in the face, but we have to let wisdom enter into our heart. Knowledge should be pleasant unto our soul. We should love the law of the Lord. We should meditate in it day and night. But if we let wisdom enter in, we let the knowledge be pleasant to us, then discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So there's ways that we do that. Now we skip down to verse 16. Those four things, wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding, will deliver us from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And so that's what we're looking at. And we get that wisdom from the book of Proverbs. We're going to see that wisdom and that discretion and that understanding to deliver us from the strange woman. Let's go ahead and read verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So we see three things about a strange woman and women here. Ladies, you want to make sure you're not being a strange woman. And so these are things you can look at for you. Men, we need to know how to recognize a strange woman. And so here's three ways we can look at this. The strange woman in verse 16, what does she do with her mouth, her words? She flatters. Okay, and we're going to see this over and over and over again. A woman that will flatter a man that's not her husband with her words. And that's probably, in the book of Proverbs, the main characteristic of this strange woman. It's flattering somebody that's not their husband. The second thing we see in verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. So she departs from the guide of her youth, and that can mean two things. I mean, the Bible talks about, and we'll read this verse, that we should delight in the love of the wife of our youth. I mean, the Bible talks about the wife. So it could be departing or forsaking her husband, or it could be forsaking the guide of her youth being her father and her father's wisdom and instruction. But this woman is rebelling against either her husband or her father. We read in verse 17. So she flatters with her words, she forsakes the guide of her youth, and she forgets the covenant of her God. When we're married, we make a covenant before God. Could be forgetting that marriage vow, or it could be the covenant that she just made that, you know, she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in the time we're at right now, but she's forgotten that. She's forgotten that she serves God. And so we see three things about this woman. She flatters with her tongue. She departs from her guide, either her father or her husband, and she forgets the covenant with God. So we see those things. And so, ladies, make sure we don't do that. Men, make sure we can recognize that. Verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death. So it's sloped. Her house goes down to death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So we know some things about the strange woman, and we know the end of the strange woman that leads to death. I mean, this is by a lot of ways. We know a lot of ways that leads to death now. I mean, there's disease. When we're with a strange woman and not our wife, there's disease. And there's diseases unto death. We know that. It could also be death through heartache. I mean, when you get involved with a strange woman, if you as a man or a woman get involved in adultery and you lose your wife, you lose your house, you lose this, I mean, you can die from heartache. You lose those things. I mean, we know If you're living a lifestyle where you're involved with strange women, you can think of rock stars or something, you know, when they're out there living a lifestyle and many strange women and hard living, a lot of those guys don't live very long. It leads towards death. When you think of Elvis Presley or people like that, I mean, it leads towards death. It also can lead towards murder. We're going to read in the book of Proverbs as well that, I mean, you can steal, you can do those kind of things that people will forgive, but if you commit adultery, that's something that it's hard for men to forgive. You can't really make that up. And jealousy, the Bible says, is the rage of a man. I mean, this sin and this strange woman leads towards death. And the Bible says here that none that go unto her return again. And of course, that also means spiritual death. And just like we read in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It leads towards spiritual death, adultery does. And so we see that the strange woman is bad news, don't we? I mean, we see that her house leads to death, her path to the dead. None take hold of the paths of life. Let's go to Proverbs 5, find out more about this strange woman. Proverbs 5, verse 3. We're going to find out more about the strange woman. And again, if we're applying this to our life, women, you're saying you're not worried about the strange woman getting you. You're worried about being the strange woman, right? And men, you're worried about, and I don't care what age we are, where we're at in life, we want to take heed lest we fall. Okay, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Find out more about this strange woman. A lot of times I keep bees, you know, and so when I pull out a frame of wax with honey, sometimes that wax will be connected to the frame beside it, and it tears open where it was sealed, and so honey's dripping from that frame, and you're losing some honey, but it's dripping, and so like kids like to come and eat that, but it's dripping. That honey's sweet. And that honeycomb is dripping honey. And so the words or the lips of a strange woman drop like a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So we're talking about something sweet and something smooth. And so the strange woman has a mouth, and I think both, you know, painted up with lipstick and looking pretty, but also the words that she says. The words that a strange woman will say to a man, they're smooth and they're sweet, but we see the end of it here in verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, and sharp as a two-edged sword. So this woman, this strange woman, it seems sweet and smooth, but it's not sweet. It's bitter. The end of it's bitter as wormwood, and that's a plant that has a nauseous taste to it. It's bitter. So that's what the Bible's telling us what the end is. No matter what we think, no matter what our flesh says, the end of it is bitter, and the end of it is sharp. It's not smooth like oil. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So God is telling us, right now, what the end of it is. No matter what it looks like and how many men, how many women have fallen into this thinking that the grass is greener, that this is going to be better and all this stuff, it's not. God is telling us it's not. She leads to death and hell. We read that again in verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. That's the second time we've read that. Let's go to verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. And it's hard to get out of a relationship with a strange woman. The way to get out is not to even start. And you try to step back. This is looking at it from the man's view. You try to step back and see, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I getting involved with this woman? Look what I could lose in my life. I mean, how many pastors lose their pastor because of this kind of stuff? How many people lose their families? I mean, I'll use Tiger Woods as an example later, but I mean, he lost, I mean, so much. I mean, could he not see this? But I'm saying that men, we can't step back and examine. We try to. We try to stand back and ponder the path of life, yet her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. She'll change. She'll change her story. She'll do whatever to woo you to stay in. You say, I can't do this. I'm cheating on my wife. I might lose my kids. She's going to change and her ways are movable. And so she's always got an answer. She's always flattering you with words. And so you can't get out of this. Thou canst not know them. I mean, guys say we can't understand women. We're talking about our wives, right? I mean, this, we can understand our wives if we try. And that's pricking my heart right there, you know. We can understand our wives if we try, but a strange woman, the Bible says, you cannot know them. You could say, you know, I'm strong, but I won't get entrapped in this. I can play with fire. I mean, this can be, it doesn't have to be the physical woman that you're committing. This could be looking at pornography on the internet or something. We can say, I can play with fire. I can look at just a little bit of that. I can go just over here to this place over here. I can do this all just a little. I can flirt with a woman just a little. The Bible says we cannot. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 26. Proverbs 6, verse 26, because You know, our flesh wants to tempt that and go just to the edge and do this. And we're going to see that's not what the Bible says to do. But Proverbs 6 verse 26 says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned?" I mean, can we take fire next to us? And if we have fire, our clothes are going to burn up. Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? But we say, "Oh, I'm strong. I can do this, you know. I'm not going to fall into adultery. I'll just come over here. I'll just look at this. I'll just talk. I'll just, you know, let her flatter me. It's kind of fun. It's kind of neat. It's kind of adventurous." That man's already lost it if you do that. We cannot go that far. Let's look at a strong man and see how he dealt with a strange woman. Let's go to Judges. So Judges chapter 16. So Solomon was the strongest man. Who was the smartest man? Who was the strongest man? Samson. So let's look at Samson. Judges 16. Let's look at a strong man and how he dealt with a strange woman. Chapter 16. Let's go through, starting at verse 1. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her." So Samson had been married, but then he left, and the father gave that wife to somebody else, and then they ended up dying. So his wife that he was actually legally married to is dead. So he's an unmarried man. He goes down to Gaza, and he goes to a harlot. "And it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him." So they had a good plan, because he's going into a harlot. He's with her that night. "But Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them to the top of a hill that's before Hebron." A strong man. He escaped that one. Verse 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." And I always assumed that they were married. But the Bible doesn't say anything about them getting married. It goes in detail about how the marriage of his first wife went. But here it says that he was a harlot, then he loved this woman. So I'm assuming that he's not married, and Delilah is a strange woman. We know it's a strange woman because it's one that God did not ordain from him. His parents knew it, and he knew it. He was supposed to marry a Jewish woman, and he always wanted these foreign, these strange women that way. But I don't believe he's married to Delilah. And so he's with this woman, Delilah, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, "Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we'll give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." And so this woman was ready to sell him off for silver. But Samson loved Delilah. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Now, if somebody asked you, "How can we bind you to afflict you?" Would that, you know, set off some kind of bell in your head? Like, hey, that's not really a good question. I mean, we would think that's kind of crazy. But Solomon, he's already gone down. He's already went by her house. He already loved her. Look at this. I mean, the Bible says he couldn't step back and ponder his path. Her ways are movable. I mean, we get a little portion of what she said here, but obviously she flattered him with her words. And so I don't think Samson was an idiot. I don't think he was stupid. Anybody could see that. We could sit back and say, well, that's not right. But Samson was blinded by this strange woman. So she can even come right out and tell him, "How can we bind you to afflict you?" And he says, I mean, he's smart enough right away. He's like, well, he knows not to tell her right away. And so he says, "If you bind me with 7 grain withs that were never dried." And so they brought her the green withs. And in verse 9, "There were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. So he broke the withs like a thread of tow that's broken when it touches fire. So his strength was not known." Now Samson knows that this wife's not only just asking, she's actually tying him up and doing it, and she actually have men waiting in the chamber to kill him. Now that should set off some alarms, but Samson, whether he tried to or not, he could not step back and ponder the path of life like we just read in Proverbs. So he just keeps going. So he loves Delilah. He's blinded by this woman that flatters with her tongue. And so Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies." She turns it on him like he's doing something wrong. She's wanting to kill him, and he just doesn't allow it, so she's mad at him. Now, a normal person you would think could look logically and say, "Samson, this is not right. Get out of this relationship." But he doesn't. He can't. He's the strongest man in the world, but he can't get out of the relationship. And so it happens again and again. And Samson still does not see it. And we sit back and say, how can that happen? But it can happen. How can it happen to Tiger Woods that he's on top of the world? He has a wife. He has children. He has all this kind of stuff. And he's got women that somehow, why? He's losing everything. And he knows these women from the outside. You're like, these women are just going to turn on you. They want money. All they have to do is just blackmail you and get money. I mean, how easy is it? But he didn't see it at the time, and any one of us could fall too. Any one of us. We could be just like Samson. We can't sit back and say, well, that's Samson. He was stupid. No. If we allow ourselves to get close to the situation, close to the strange woman, we've already lost it. Samson already lost it. And so then we come down in verse 15. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. The strange woman leads to death. He was vexed to death. He got to the point he did not care. Why not just leave the woman? Because he couldn't. He couldn't sit back and ponder the path of life, the Bible told him. Her ways are movable. He couldn't know them. He was stuck in this deal. So he told her all her heart and said unto her, there's not a razor came up on my head and so forth. And so it comes in verse 18 when Delilah saw that she had told him all his heart. I mean, she knew. She was sitting back. She had her wisdom. She was very smart. You know, she could tell this time he told the truth. So she went and they had the money brought already. She said, this is the truth this time. And they were ready. She had no doubt about it. And she was right. She made him to sleep upon her knees in verse 19. And she called for a man. I mean, she just said this. He just told her, why is he sleeping on her knees? The power of a strange woman. She called for a man, caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She's not afraid now to afflict him. The strongest man in the world, this one woman, Delilah, is afflicting him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I'll go as at other times, as before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So the strongest man in the world was no match for one strange woman. He could kill 1,000 men at one time. 1,000 men could come at him. He could take on any man in the world, 1,000 men in the world. They couldn't get him, but one strange woman could get him. Look at what she did. She defeated the strongest man. Her end was bitter and sharp. He lost his eyes. Her feet went down to death. He actually lost his life then, as soon as his hair grew back and he died. But he died because of her. He would have lived a longer life, we would look, just from looking. This one woman made a fool out of him. And we could see her deceitful ways. We could see this so easy from the outside looking in, but he could not know her. And that's exactly what the Bible says. And God put this account here for a reason, to give us a warning. And that we too could be this man. Any of us could be this man. What should he have done? What should Samson have done? Where was his mistake? Let's go back to Proverbs. I'm saying the book of Proverbs is pretty clear what we need to do. And Samson had already got in too far. And that he could not recover himself out. He was like a bird in a snare. He was taken. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 6 is where we were at. Proverbs 5 verse 6 says, lest thou should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. He couldn't figure it out. He was blinded to this. He couldn't ponder the path of his life. Here's the solution. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. There's the solution. That's the command in verse 8. Remove thy way far from her, and go not nigh the door of her house. That's what Samson should have done. That's what we need to do. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We cannot play with fire. We can't take fire into our bosom and our clothes not get burned. We know what the end of it is. We know however sweet it looks, however, whatever it looks, the end is bitter as wormwood, as sharp as a two-edged sword. So we just cannot go near her house. We can not go near the strange woman. We can't say if there's a chance that we know a strange woman lives in Bradshaw, and we know that, you know, there's been some flattering words, something like that. If we're going to York, we go on I-80. We don't go by the way of Bradshaw just to go by her house and see. If we've done that, we're losing. And we're ready to be lost. If we play with fire, we're going to get burned. We cannot go near her house. If it's the computer, if there's something on the computer there, you can't go on the computer and say, well, this time I'm going to try, but knowing in your mind you probably are going to slip up. You're probably going to get on a website you shouldn't be on. That strange woman's going to beckon. We can't go near her house. We'd rather destroy the computer than go near her house. We are not strong enough. Samson's the strongest man in the world, and he fell. And that's a common sense answer. We say, well, we want some spiritual, big-time answer. It's simple. Don't go near the strange woman. Remove your way far from her. If you got a drinking problem, you don't hang out in the bar, right? If you got a problem with women, and I think every man in the world has a problem that you could fall to a woman. We don't go near the strange woman. It's simple, but it takes some action. We can't just be passive and think it's going to take place. We've got to take action not to do this. And so women, this seems like it's all about men, right? How to stay away from the strange woman, but you could be that strange woman. And the book of Proverbs says that you have the power to do so. 1,000 men couldn't take down Samson, but one woman could. You have the power to be that strange woman. You have the power to take down a man. You have the power to do these things if you so will. The Bible says don't. Okay? And we're going to look at some practical ways that you can keep from being the strange woman. We've seen one of them. The strange woman flatters with her lips, doesn't she? And we're going to see that over and over and over. And so don't flatter other men with your lips. Flatter your husband with your lips. Talk about your husband to other men. Talk about your husband and flatter him. But if you find yourself flattering men, that has an effect on men. That's one of the signs of a strange woman. Don't flatter other men with your lips. Flatter your husband. So that's one practical thing we can do. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 9. So he just told us, God told us, his wisdom was, go, remove thy way far from her, come not near the door of her house. Here's what could happen if we do. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And when I read that, that brings to mind exactly, probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, there's a country song about, that's my car, and that's my dog, and that's my wife, and, you know, that's my life. He had got divorced, and now some stranger was filled with his wealth, filled with had his children, had his house, all that he labored on. And that's what it's saying. If we mess around, if we go near the door of this woman's house, if we mess around with that, we're going to find our honor given to others, our years to the cruel, strangers are going to be filled with our wealth, our labors are going to be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. And that is a Christian. If you're sitting here listening, that's what you're going to be if we're involved with a strange woman. You're going to be in all evil, but you're still going to be in the midst of the congregation and assembly. On Sunday mornings, you're going to sit there in the midst of the congregation and assembly, but you're in all evil. And you know it. You're convicted of it all the time, right? You're a hypocrite because you're sitting in church and you know that you've given your heart to a strange woman. You're involved in a strange woman. And this all can be stopped if we remove our way far from her and we come not nigh the door of her house. We must do that. We must not mess around with this. We do not have the power to fight this unless we just take what God says, and that's the command. Get far from her. Don't go near her house. You say, well, this is a bunch of don'ts and stuff, but then the Bible tells us what to do. In verse 10, 15 through 21, it talks about our wives. And you can read that and find out what God says about the marriage bed is undefiled. And so that's what we do do. The Bible says in verse 17, no, verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. We have a wife. God gives us. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. We rejoice with the wife of our youth. Look at verse 19 at the last part of it. He says, be thou ravished always with her love. We love our wives just like God has given us our wives, right? We're ravished with her love. We rejoice with the wife of our youth. Verse 20. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? He's given us a wife. He's given us a good thing, and that's where we need to be. That's what we need to praise the Lord for. That's who we need to love. And so God told us what we need to not do and what we need to do. And the Bible says for young men and young women, that it's better to marry than to burn. If a man cannot contain, it's better to marry than to burn. He's given us marriage, and he gives you a wife. And so we see about what the Bible says in Proverbs 5 about a strange woman. Let's go to Proverbs 6, learn more about this strange woman. Proverbs 6, and let's begin in verse 20. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and tithe and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. I mean, that's memorizing God's word. It's reading God's word and memorizing God's words, hiding God's word in our heart. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. If we memorize it, if we know it. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. We can't always have a Bible and be reading it, but if we have the Bible memorized, if we have verses and we're thinking on this and meditating on this, we'll have it with us. It shall talk with us even when we're awake. For the commandment is a lamp. And you think when it's dark, you need a lamp. The law is a light. I mean, that's talking about the Word of God, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we're going down the way that God keeps on reproving us and showing us and correcting us, And we got the light of His Word to show us where to go. And what this does, tells us in verse 24, this is to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. There it is again, the flattery of a tongue of a strange woman. So women, please don't flatter other men with your tongue. Well, we can say cordial things and nice things, but we know when we're flattering somebody. When we're trying to get them to, you know, notice us and say something. And even in a married relationship, it's easy to do that. Don't flatter with your tongue. Don't be a strange woman. And it says here that the strange woman is an evil woman in verse 24. See that? It talks about to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. And both these things they're compared to be the same. The strange woman is an evil woman. We come to verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So the Bible tells us, men, not to lust after the beauty of this woman. Not to let her take us with her eyelids. But to lust not after her beauty. And Jesus said that same thing, didn't He? Matthew 5, verse 28. He said that if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus said, do not lust after women. We can't just say, well, I didn't commit the physical act of adultery. No, Jesus said we did if we lust after her. So we need to not only not do that, we need to lust not after her beauty in thine heart. So we look at ladies. What does it say to you? It says you need to make sure you're dressing in a way that doesn't encourage a man to lust after you. You don't want to encourage men to lust after the beauty in their heart. You're causing them to sin. The Bible says that, that the world, offenses must come in the world, but woe to the one that causes those offenses. I believe Matthew 19, somewhere around there. You don't want to be one that causes someone else to sin. And the Bible tells ladies what your guide should be for dress. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. So men, we do not want to lust after her beauty. Don't let her take thee with her eyelids. But women, you don't want to dress in a way that's going to encourage a man to lust after your beauty. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. And so, modest apparel, we think of modest as not, being provocative. It could be not flashy. You're dressing not in a way to show off wealth and that look at me. But you're not drawing attention to yourself. In a modest way, you should dress. Then it says, with shamefacedness. And shamefacedness is the opposite of being forward. A forward woman is going to say, come out and look at me, and really showing off herself. Shamefacedness is the opposite of that. Not trying to be the center, not trying to, you think of the stars coming down the red carpet. Everybody wants to have the where everybody's looking at them. No, dress in a way that's not drawing everything towards you. And sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls and costly array, but which becometh women of professing godliness with good works. You should adorn yourself with good works. And that's with men and women. We should just be doing good. And that's what people know us for. Not our dress, not our clothes, not that kind of stuff. They should know us for what we are, what we do, and what we profess, godliness. So, we see what we should do. Ladies, you don't want to encourage men to lust after you. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. Proverbs 6, verse 25. Lust not after her beauty, and don't let her take thee with her eyelids. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So, ladies, this is to you. Don't take men with your eyelids. A woman's eyes are a powerful thing. The Bible talks about, in the Song of Solomon, the Bible talks about his wife and her eyes. He took her; she could take him with one eye. The Bible talks in Isaiah that the Israelite ladies, they walked around with wanton eyes, with eyes that were flirtatious, that were look at me, that were trying to draw attention. Proverbs 4:25, let's turn back, this may be one page. Proverbs 4, verse 25, tells ladies what their eyes should be doing. Not trying to take men with their eyes. And eye contact and prolonged eye contact and communication with the eyes, you can take a man. You can do that. You have power, women, to do these things, but you ought not to use that power. You want to dress in a way not to provoke a man to lust. You want to use your eyes in a way not to take a man with your eyelids. Look at verse 25, Proverbs 4, verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You've got to look at people. But there's a difference between looking, just seeing, and there's a difference between eye contact. and making eye contact and taking somebody with your eyelids. And we know what that is. We know if we're trying to do that. Just guard against that. And so, man, we don't want to make eye contact. Don't play that game, you know. Don't try to encourage and see what you, if somebody else maybe finds you attractive, if, you know, something else, if there's something between you, don't play that game. Don't even look in the eyes. Men, let your eyes be straight on. All right, so if we want to, as men, chapter 6, verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. What's the deal? That sometimes there's going to be times when we're just going to be in Walmart and there's going to be somebody that's beautiful and walks by. And we know they're beautiful. People know they're beautiful. And what do? Sometimes there's going to be something on TV. There's going to be something, you know, where there's going to be that. What do we do? Because we can't say, well, yeah, I find her ugly. You know, that's not the truth. But we don't have to lust after her. What do? Job 31, verse 1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So we make a covenant. We make an agreement. We think about these things. What is it we are going to look at and what are we not going to look at? We know right away. And we make a covenant with our eyes that if there's a beautiful woman, if there's something that would cause me to lust, whether it's on a TV screen, on a billboard, or in real life, if there's something that would cause me to sin, I'm not going to look at it. And I'll let my eyelids look right on, straight ahead. I've made a covenant with my eyes. I don't have to think about it because I've made that covenant. And so that's number one. When we see a beautiful woman, we just look right on. Don't look. Don't lust. Psalm 101, verse 3. Let's turn there. Psalms 101, verse 3. Just back a little bit in the Bible. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, so we know that we need to make a covenant with our eyes. And this would be the same thing for a woman, you know, if there's something that would cause you to lust. Psalm 101, verse 3 says this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And so we set no wicked thing before our eyes. And now this beautiful woman is maybe not a wicked thing. Maybe in the way she's dressing is, maybe not even. Maybe we're the wicked one. But what it's going to cause us to do is to lust, which is sin, which is wicked. If it's going to cause us to lust, it's wicked to us, and we set no wicked thing before our eyes. We don't sit down at a computer. We don't sit down at a TV when we know there's going to be stuff that could cause us to sin, that could cause us to lust. We set no wicked thing before our eyes. We hate the work of them that turn aside. It will not cleave to me, because if we look at this stuff, it will cleave to us in our heart. And the Bible says, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. If it cleaves to us in our heart, that's the problem, and it's going to cause us to lust even when that woman's not there. We need to make a covenant with our eyes so we don't think upon a maid. We need to set no wicked thing before our eyes so it doesn't cleave to me. And so when we come to Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. That's part of keeping your heart, because it says, for out of it are the issues of life. So we want to take these precautions, make covenants with our eyes, set no wicked thing before our eyes, make our eyelids go right on. That's what verse 25 says. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That's what we need to do as men. We keep our heart with all diligence, because we lose our heart. I mean, that's the wicked things come out of a man's heart, right? We need to keep our heart with all diligence, and we do that through the eyes. And so both men and women have a part to play in keeping out of this sin of the strange woman, out of adultery. Men and women both have their roles to play. Let's go back to Proverbs 6. So, verse 25, lust not after her beauty, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So here we get two more words for this strange woman. In verse 25, in verse 24, she's the evil woman, the strange woman. Now she's the whorish woman, the adulterous woman. And by her means is a man brought to a piece of bread. A piece of bread's worth probably, what, a nickel? I mean, we throw it out to ducks to eat. I mean, a piece of bread's worth nothing. We can lose everything as men through a evil, strange, whorish woman. We can lose our reputation. We can lose our peace. We can lose our assets. We can lose our children. We can lose our wife. We can lose our health. And we can lose our soul. A man's brought to a piece of bread through this. Let's keep reading in this chapter. Verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be not burned? Can one go up on hot coals and his feet be not burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. We all know that stealing is wrong. It's a sin. And that man should make restitution. And he gives up whatever he needs to. And if he acknowledges that sin, is any of us going to hold that against the man? He stole because he was hungry. He knows it was wrong. He gave back. I mean, there's forgiveness. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Talk about that husband that you committed adultery on, his wife. Jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. I mean, this is a different sin than just stealing, than lying and doing these things. I mean, a man should forgive. But the Bible's just being clear here that you do this. I mean, it's a different kind of sin than stealing. Adultery, and this is serious. It leads to death. I mean, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. There's nothing you can pay him back for what you've done. The Bible says to stay away from it. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. He's again saying, memorize these things. Think on these things, read these things. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. I mean, we want to be close to wisdom and understanding. Verse chapter 7, verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. What's going to keep you from the strange woman? Well, his words, his commandments, his law, wisdom and understanding. Those are the things that are going to keep us from the strange woman. And what we found so far isn't like, you know, astrophysics. It's remove your way far from her, go not near her door, make a covenant with your eyes, keep your eyes going straight ahead. It's simple stuff. I mean, everybody can understand it, but we have to do it. We have to be hearers and doers of the word. We have to care about it to do it. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattereth with her words. There it is again. Always this strange woman is flattering with her words. And now we're going to look at a case. A lot of times, like in college classes, what you have a test, you have examples, like in Ashley's business classes, they would have, what do they call those things? Case studies. Thank you. So you have case studies. Here's a case study in chapter 7. So let's look at this and see what this young man, what he did wrong or right, and what the woman did wrong or right. The Bible says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So he saw this man, he looked void of understanding. Or maybe because of his actions he knows now he's void of understanding. But he was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. What's the problem? What's he doing wrong? He's going near her house. What's he doing? He is going near her corner, and he went the way to her house. What's the Bible say? Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Flee youthful lust, the Bible says. He's going near her corner. We would say, well, he hasn't done anything wrong. You know, he hasn't sinned. I say he's lost it right there. He is a man that is void of understanding. He's a simple one. Because he thinks he can go by near her house. He can go by the way. He can drive by Bradshaw. He can just tempt it. He can go by just something he wants to get a glimpse at. He can be on the internet knowing that he's going to glimpse at something. But the man void of understanding, it's a simple one. And we see where it leads this man. We know where it's going to lead us. God has told us where it's going to lead us. Don't think we're stronger than Samson. Don't think we're stronger than anybody else. Take heed lest we fall. So we see that he went by her way, and that's his first mistake. He's supposed to remove his way far from her. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Is there a problem there? I mean, he's going by at nighttime. We are not children of the night, right? We are we're children of the light. The Bible says we are not of the night, not of darkness. People, you know, the Bible says at night men love darkness because their deeds are evil. We know that we do. We like darkness because it hides evil things. The darkness, and he's going by at night. And what's he thinking? He's already laid this foundation in his head. He's going to fall. The trap's already laid. He's already walked into it because he went near her house at the night, twilight in the evening, in the black and dark night. And I say, if possible, I mean, we want to be home with our wives at night. If possible, we want to be home, wives with our husbands at night. We want to be where we're supposed to be. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. What's the woman doing? Wrong. She has the attire of a harlot. Doesn't say she is a harlot, but she's dressing like one. Now, a harlot knows what she's doing. She's not stupid. She knows how to sell her wares, and so she dresses up her wares. If you're dressing like a harlot, I say that we know what we're doing, as I don't, but a woman would know what she's doing. We're not silly. We need to dress in a way that's appropriate. She's dressed like the attire of a harlot because she's subtle of heart. She's deceitful. She knows what she's doing. And so, I mean, that's sometimes I don't know in the world we live in if, you know, young ladies know the way they're dressing and know what that's doing to men. I don't know. But we, as women, you're to teach the younger women, you know, to love your husband, to be chaste, sober, these kind of things. So, I mean, that's, a man can't really go up and say, listen, you're really dressing, but a woman can. And dressing in the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. And so we can see her error here. Look at verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's not where she's supposed to be. She's not in the place that a God-fearing woman would be. And women, men, we know that. We know when we're at a place because we are doing something we should not do. We can try to justify it, but we should do what we know we're supposed to do. For him that knoweth to do right and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. But we know where we're supposed to be. She's not where she's supposed to be. In verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him, that's with an offensive boldness. I mean, she was bold. She said, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. So she had been to the temple. She had sacrificed a perfect animal without blemish. And she, and with the peace offerings, the rule of that was she could take half of it home to eat. And so she had meat that was great, but she'd done a religious duty. I mean, she's saying, you know, she's religious that day. And so just because somebody's in church doesn't mean anything. We can't take our guard off anywhere. She said, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Look at Proverbs chapter 30 real quick. Proverbs chapter 30. Because an adulterous woman, a strange woman, can do these things. She could feel perfectly fine just going to the priest, offering her peace offering, and then coming and kissing a man that's not her husband. She said it with a bold, brash face, you know. Proverbs 30, verse 20, says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. She performs the act of adultery and then says, I've done no wickedness. And that's the way of an adulterous woman, the Bible says. And that's the way this woman is in chapter 7. Let's go back to chapter 7. She caught him in verse 13 and she kissed him. And she said, I've done my peace offering. So they have good food to eat that night. You know, she's getting to him through his belly. You can see that. She said, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. How does that make the young man feel? Pretty important. She's flattering him right there. Oh, I've been looking for you. I just can't wait to see you, and I've caught you, and I found you. She's flattering with words, just like a strange woman would do. He's done. He went by her. He was done when he went by her house. Verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. I mean, this woman has the flattering. She has a tongue that's smoother than oil, that's sweeter than honey. We know what the end will be, but this man doesn't. This man's void of understanding. He went by her place. Man, we cannot even allow this to get started. We cannot say that we're strong enough. The strange woman knows what she's doing. Women have power over men. We cannot allow this. And then she says, for the good man, the husband is not at home, for he's gone on a long journey. Oh, he's taken a bag of money with him, and he'll come home at the day appointed. And so with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Right? Again, she's flattering. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. He's done. He's going towards death. Her steps lead down to hell. Her ways are death. He's like an ox going to the slaughter. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it's for his life. They put a little bait up on a pole, and there's a snare here or something. The bird goes, ah, great, it's a great thing. And his life's gone. That's like this man void of understanding, went for this woman. He's done. Because he passed by her way. Because he did not remove her way far from her. Hearken unto me, verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. We all have a choice to make tonight. We can hearken unto the words of the Lord. This is where the Bible says, you know, turn you at my reproof. We can listen to what God says. We can see the end of it. God's laid it out as clear as it can be. What's going to happen? We can either turn from it or we can fall into it. Then we can later say, God, you know, why didn't you tell me? Or you need to help me and I need your wisdom. He said, I've told you. I've told you my word very plainly. what's going to happen. So hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, no, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Samson's one of them, we saw. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So again, I mean, we see the dangers. It's clear. And the Bible says it in you know, beautiful language. We don't have to sit and get all graphic about anything. It says it clearly what's going to happen. It tells us the end of these things. Bitter as wormwood. Now we just have a decision to make. I mean, it's not real spiritual stuff. It's just simple stuff. Don't go near her. Make a covenant with your eyes. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Look straight on. Look straight ahead. And don't go near the strange woman. We can't take fire in our bosom and not be burned. We cannot play with fire. And we have nothing to gain and everything to lose if we believe the Bible. There's nothing to gain. There's no positive to it, but we lose everything. We lose everything if we ignore His warning. And we walk in the lust of our flesh, which we all have. There's one other way that something else that can lead towards a strange woman. Let's go to Proverbs 23. And we'll end here. Proverbs 23, one more way that could lead to falling for a strange woman. Let's go. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. I mean, you imagine getting down in a deep ditch, a narrow pit, you can't get out. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? So we're talking about a strange woman. Then it goes into who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. We're talking about alcohol. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Thy eyes shall behold strange women. That's one of the things about alcohol, about wine, intoxicating drinks. Thine eyes will behold strange women. We have this covenant with our eyes. We know that we're going to set no wicked thing before it. We know we need to look straight on, and then what do? We go intoxicated, and then this stuff happens. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. I mean, we have to be on our best guard ever when we're sober. I mean, that's everything we can do when we're sober, and now we're saying, well, we're not going to be sober. Can you take fire into your bosom and not be burned? I mean, that basically takes away the spirit. You're not walking in the spirit. You're in your flesh, and we know what our flesh is. There's no good thing. I know what my flesh would do. We have to walk in the spirit. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And so alcohol can lead us to fall into adultery. And none of us are above any of this. I ask you, is the Bible relevant? I mean, is this relevant to our lives? Yes, it is. I mean, this could be written in 2012. I mean, it was written 3,000 years ago, but it talks about humankind hasn't changed. We are the same as Solomon was. We are the same. So I just ask you tonight, women, don't be that strange woman. Look at those things a strange woman is and avoid it. Don't be it. Men, don't go near the strange woman. And all of us, don't think that it couldn't happen to us. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so Proverbs is a book of wisdom, God's wisdom for us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wisdom. And Lord, I just ask that you be with anybody here that maybe is leading down this path, is going by the path. Lord, allow them to listen to your word tonight and to turn from that. And Lord, ask you to save them from that misery, from that death, from all that they will lose if they do that. Lord, guard my heart, guard everybody's heart here, and allow none of us to ever think we're above this, and to take steps, the simple steps, but the steps that we have to be vigilant, we have to be sober to do, but to not go near her, to watch our eyes, to make a covenant, and do those things. Lord, be with us, help us, and help none of this to come upon this church, and that it can be a tragedy that happens. Help none of it to happen to anybody in this church. Lord, help us to be faithful to our husbands and our wives. And let us glorify you, Lord. And we praise you for your word and that it's straight shooting and it tells us. what we need to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.